Does anybody out there in listenerdom know anyone who went down to Mar-a-Lago to demonstrate their support for Donald Trump after the search of Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago Pleasure Palace and Club? If so, give us a call, 203-333-WICC. I have a question. Why'd you go? Yeah, you know, I mean, I get it. I don't much like the federal government. I suppose if I had to characterize my politics, I'd be somewhere on the libertarian strain, but even that is strained these days. I'm just confused like the rest of you. What I do know is that I don't know anywhere near enough to start running my mouth about civil war, about, you know, the FBI and a new low and all this other jazz. And when I see news reports of people in a car caravan outside Mar-a-Lago waving the flag and demonstrating their concern for Donald Trump, their outrage over what the FBI did to them, I think, seriously? Mike Boyer joins us every time at the top of the week, every week at the top of the week here in week 16 of this tour, this 3-hour tour of Gilligan's Island. Mike, you know anybody from down your way in North Carolina who went down to Mar-a-Lago to show their support for the Donald?
I can't say that I do, or at least if I do, I'm not aware that they went down. But I have the same question that you do. I think especially in the aftermath of January 6th, my question is just simply, why would you subject yourself to the potentiality that we've seen with the various arrests and prosecutions of those that were at the Capitol on January 6th? We've seen what the current Department of Justice is willing to do, and certainly an outpouring of support is important in principle, but it seems like a very practical departure from self-preservation, if you know what I mean.
Well, maybe. I mean, look, I'm all for going down there and honking my horn for justice and standing tall and saying, bring it. I'm all for that, for good cause. I'm just not sure I've seen good cause yet. I mean, look at the politics, the political optics last week. I say shame on Donald Trump, but I also say shame on Merrick Garland. You know, Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago was raided. A bunch of FBI agents went in there. It was either Monday or Tuesday of last week. And they had a search warrant. That is a document authorizing the agents to enter private areas looking for items that might be associated with a crime. Normally, these searches are semi-private. However, you know, a bunch of agents turn up at your home with raid jackets on and burst into your home. Your neighbors are going to be doing some talking. Well, the claim is, at least among most of the reports I've read, is the FBI timed the raid of Mar-a-Lago at a time when it knew that Trump wouldn't be there to sort of minimize the publicity associated with this. I don't know. So he wasn't there, but he went out and he told the world that Donald did that his home had been that his castle had been invaded by those dirty, rotten scoundrels, the feds. Merrick Garland doubled down. Oh, yeah. Well, the public needs to know. The public needs to know why we went in this search. So he told us that he was going to move for disclosure in court. He was going to ask a judge for permission to disclose an otherwise confidential document, what he called the search warrant. What we ended up with, we didn't end up with a 3-course meal. We ended up with the menu. We ended up just with the conclusion. Officers were apparently searching for items that may or may not be proof of a crime that Trump violated the Espionage Act by having information in his possession that he was not authorized to have. That could place the United States at risk. He was charged with he's being investigated for potential obstruction of justice charges and others. But what we don't know are the reasons that the federal government gave to a judge for permission to search. Merrick, that's what we wanted to know. Don't pretend to be a transparency hawk. Show us a copy of the menu and tell us the food really tastes great. We want to eat it for ourselves. So I think in the fight of Merrick Garland versus Donald J. Trump, the two of them don't look good. Give them a room. Let them go mud wrestle somewhere. You get the impression that Merrick has still got sour grapes, that Trump put the kibosh on his ride to the United States Supreme Court. I'm not going to say that the feds ginned this up. And, you know, last week I was critical of Trump. I think I might have uttered the words, shut up, Donald, here on the air. And I got a note from one of my regular listeners. Don't, you know, maybe I wasn't a little fair. Maybe I was unfair. Maybe I was too abrupt in my condemnation of the Donald. Maybe. But when Trump responds, whenever he's criticized with the tu quoque argument, the you too argument, you know, you did it too. And now the first words out of his mouth before he even knows what they took is they planted evidence. That's just not credible. That's like being a crybaby. You lost the election, so it was stolen. They planted evidence. I mean, Donald's never going to address the issue on their merits. He's always going to castigate motives. Garland promised us more, and he delivered far less. So here's a call out to Merrick Garland and the FBI. We want to see the underlying search warrant affidavit. In other words, we don't want to see the menu. Deliver the meal. Let us taste it for ourselves. You think there's reason to believe that Trump broke the law? Then tell us what those reasons are. Don't just stand there and wave a piece of paper in our face saying, Espionage Act, Espionage Act, Espionage Act. You don't look any better than the Donald does in this case. I don't know what your take, but I'm told that there was a confidential informant in the home and that it went something like this, that Trump was in a dispute with the National Archives for quite some time, looking for evidence of, or I guess the National Archives rather, thought that he had walked out of the White House with papers that are the property of the United States. In a series of negotiations, the National Archives got papers back. Apparently, lawyers for Trump told the National Archives they had them all. Somebody in Donald's house called the FBI and said, no, no, you didn't get them all. There are some hidden away, maybe in Melania's underwear drawer. I don't know. I've seen a lot of humorous memes about that online. And so the FBI got a warrant to come back into the house, and they seized material. Now, Trump is claiming that he applied the so-called magic wand test, and that is, as the chief executive of the United States while president and the commander-in-chief, he said by fiat these documents are no longer top secret, and therefore it's not a crime to possess them. But that's not the crime charged. The crime isn't charged with theft of classified documents. It's charged as having documents in his possession and control that he's not authorized to have, presumably as a private citizen, and that those documents could undermine the security of the United States. That's a tall order. And, you know, I don't think that charge will ever be brought to trial. The reason is it's self-defeating. Garland cannot offer as evidence the documents seized without undermining the very claim that he's made, that is, that the possession and knowledge of those documents undermines national security. Donald Trump has a right to a speedy, fair, and public trial if he's charged. He'd have a right to cross-examine and confront the witnesses against him and what's more, to see the evidence against him. So Merrick Garland can't very well say, you undermine the security of the United States, and then proceed to trial without showing the very documents that would undermine the security of the United States. So this whole Espionage Act discussion is a waste of time. Show us the affidavit. Show us the beef, Merrick, please. You're listening to WICC 600 AM, 107.3 FM, WICC600.com if you're live streaming. Hey, we're joined by Mike Boyer down there at the Kraft Carolina Legal Group, the producer of our podcast, Law and Legitimacy. You can find downloaded versions, or editions, rather, of most of these radio broadcasts at Law and Legitimacy, wherever fine podcasts and not-so-fine podcasts are published. If you listen to us, we want you to give us a 7-star rating. But wait, you're saying there's only 5. Break the bank. Go for broke. Tell folks it's the best thing you've ever heard and let them deal with the consequences. Before we return, and I have an open mic here, anybody within our listenership go down to protest in support of Donald Trump last week after the FBI raided his home? Or if you know somebody who did, or you have an opinion about what happened down there and you want to talk about it, give us a call at 203-333-WICC. If I've learned anything in my brief career as a talking, whatever it is, donkey here, talk show host, it's the following. Yeah, we like to giggle, chortle, and get outraged about what happens on the news. That's why they show us this stuff. It manipulates our emotions, and there are complex computer algorithms somewhere that know how to sell us stuff based on how we react. But what we really care about, what endures, is our quality of life at home. We're in the southern portion of Connecticut. Did you see the story about Milford? I'm not sure if Milford's within our reach. If you're out there in Milford, give us a call. 44 cars have been stolen in this small town already this year. There have been 65 thefts from automobiles thus far this year, and the police now have to resort to an exhortation to folks, lock your cars. They say lock them after 9 p.m. I've seen stories of folks going to the gas station and getting mugged, people taking their cars, beating them up, you know, within camera range while they're getting gas. Those are mean streets out there. And I think all this incendiary stuff about the FBI and Donald Trump and civil war, that just makes the streets crazier. I mean, what did you think, Mike, about that guy who apparently tried to attack an FBI building with a nail gun in Cincinnati? He has been introduced to eternity. I mean, what do we know anything about him? What his motives were? Had he posted on social media? What's the story there?
I know very little about it, but I'm like you. I think that he had made some posts prior there too, talking about how he knew how to get through the bulletproof glass and all this other stuff, which might explain the use of a nail gun at some point. But I'm like you. It seems like there are people like this gentleman who are just primed to or compelled to do very crazy stuff at the drop of a hat, based on an emerging story like we've seen out of Mar-a-Lago.
Well, I think there was another. There was a fatality in D.C. last night. I read a story this morning about a fellow who tried to run his car through a security barrier near the White House. And when the car crashed, he took a weapon out and was shooting in the air. And he's no more. And so, you know, there's a double narrative that goes on in a lot of these acts of violence. We pour gasoline on the embers of the national psyche, and then we all act surprised when somebody's mind and soul and spirit bursts in the flames and they do something crazy. What about civility for civility's sake? You know, I say I don't like the feds. I started to say that in the first piece, and I got distracted the way I always do. And I don't want them in my house. You know, I've got a doormat outside my back door that says come back with a warrant. And I mean this stuff. You know, I don't really want the federal government as a partner in my life. Sure, they've got the ability to send the IRS over with some sort of device to drain me of cash, claiming that they own a certain percentage of my labor. Okay, that fight's been fought and lost, those who are against the federal income tax, in the courts and by amendment to the United States Constitution. The federal government has the right to tax. Never mind that Justice Marshall once said that the power to tax is the power to destroy, and that many Americans believe the federal government is set to destroy us. I don't believe that myself. I think we are bound together in a common enterprise, and it's called the business of living. And somehow we've got to figure out how to get along and take care of ourselves and one another without destroying ourselves and one another. And the mainstream press, the political parties, are doing nothing right now to contribute. Well, I shouldn't say that. Are doing very little, next to nothing, let me walk it back just a degree or two, to promote a common sense of civic responsibility. I mean, the Republicans who got up and called, you know, like as did Marjorie Taylor Greene, defund the FBI. Yeah, that's going to work perfect, Marjorie. You know, the FBI are fascists. No, they're not. I mean, they're not knocking on the door without a warrant in the middle of the night, sweating your children to have your children tell your secrets about what things you said against the political leaders. The FBI may have exceeded its authority here. This was a shocking departure from the norm, meaning the search of a former president's home. They claim in their public statements, Garland and others, that they tried other less restrictive means to resolve this dispute. Okay, don't just assert that. Show us the warrant. If Merrick Garland really, 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 truly wants to defuse this situation, he'll show us the search warrant affidavit. You want to keep Pom quiet and confidential, the name of your mole in Donald's house? Okay, that's a little Stasi-like, but I get that. Redact it. Take a black magic marker and cross the name out. That's what typically goes, what happens with information about confidential informants. You don't get them if you're a defendant or a defense lawyer until the very eve of trial. The government's desire is to protect the identity of its confidential witnesses for fear that they might be retaliated against or otherwise come to harm. But because the Sixth Amendment gives a defendant the right to confront witnesses against him if a government chooses to use a so-called CI. That's what they're referred to in the trade. Well, they're not actually. CI is an abbreviation for confidential informant. In the trade, that is the defense side of the aisle, they're called rats or worse. If the government wants to use a rat or worse or a CI as a witness, they have to disclose the name and information about that witness, you know, 10 days or so before trial. That's the law. So Merrick Garland does not win a sainthood award for flashing a menu before the American people and saying, trust me, the food in this restaurant's great. We want to eat it for ourselves, Merrick. And it's worse, in my opinion, for him to stand up flashing that warrant around because the charges sound so inflammatory. It gives us nothing to do now but speculate about what it means. And you heard and saw the speculation last week that it refers to Donald's possession of the nuclear codes, like he's going to launch World War III from Mar-a-Lago. How's it playing down in North Carolina, this business?
Well, I have two thoughts on this.
Well, more than I thought you'd have.
Two thoughts on this. Number one, I think you may agree that that Merrick Garland has a brand problem right now, at least with roughly half of the country.
He doesn't have a
right?
brand because, problem. He's just a weenie. I mean, what do you mean a brand problem?
Well, in terms of his credibility, right?
Yeah, okay,
so
okay.
At least with half of the country, because the other hot button issue that has been top of mind in every state, it seems like, during this election cycle has been school choice and education. And if you recall, Garland's DOJ came under fire earlier this year for their work with the National School Board Association to identify parents and sort of unmask parents that were voicing concerns at local school board meetings as to the content and substance of curriculums for their children and the students there. And that was the first story that emerged, I think, behind the Biden admin's appointment of Merrick Garland as head of the DOJ.
So that was sort of like referring to parents who protested against the introduction of critical race theory into their schools, that they were potentially domestic terrorists. That's what you're referring to?
That's correct.
As though local control of the schools and concern about what your children are being spoon-fed all day is something that the federal government should have any role in at all and that you should be faulted for considering. But I cut you off.
Well, no, but I think that you're spot on, and this always sort of forces me to ask the questions of, well, what is the purview of the Department of Education, or in other contexts, the Environmental Protection Agency? You know, when was that formed? What was its original purview and scope? How was it funded? What did it focus on? And things like this get the public asking questions about, well, what is the function of the Department of Education? Why is there a federal body that sits atop and allocates funds on a state-by-state basis, and what control and persuasion efforts are being undertaken to form these curriculums for our students, when in reality we're only electing, you know, local representatives to carry our interests to local school boards, right? And so that was that sort of view, I think, from the conservative right early in Garland's term here, has been sort of the first memory formed in the collective conscience around him. So the Mar-a-Lago thing, I think, was met with immediate skepticism from the same body politic, right? The same people, because of the mistrust or the misgivings associated with the knowledge that there was a domestic terrorist surveillance efforts and resource allocations being made to local school boards to perhaps unmask individual parents. The other way that I look at this, Norm, the second thought that occurs to me is that Trump has this splendid ability to give us a starting point for really obscure civics topics, right? It seems like his entire presidency was plagued with impeachment efforts for Russia collusion, phone calls with the current president of Ukraine, Zelensky, which is odd to think about in retrospect now. And even after his presidency, I think he defied three different impeachment efforts. And yet again, here we have him under the microscope in advance of what I think we can all agree is a forthcoming announcement for his intent to run as president in 2024. It just seems an oddly timed and really vague and veiled attempt to put him under the microscope yet again and to bog him down in the criminal procedural apparatus that is the federal DOJ.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess here's where I come from. This business politicizing Mar-a-Lago and the number of people who made, Steve Bannon, and company who made incendiary statements last week, basically calling for civil war. I think we've got to be careful. You can only whisper that talk so many times before people start to take it seriously. And I can't help but wonder what that guy who stormed the CIA or the Cincinnati FBI agent was thinking. I don't know what the young man who drove his car into a security barrier in D.C. was thinking. But suppose we get a steady drumbeat of this stuff. One here, one there, one here, one there. And people respond by saying, oh, look what the feds made us do. It's going to draw people in farther and farther and farther into a web of violence that could spiral out of control.